morning, everybody. Welcome to church. A special welcome to any who are visiting us today or listening in online a bit later. I'm Fiona, one of the congregation members here, and today Sam is on the keyboard, Rosemary is singing and playing, and reading to us from the Bible will be Coral. Rosemary will be praying, and we're really thankful for Cameron Blair being here for the Bible teaching time. At Abbotsford Anglican, we are a group of local people, all ages and backgrounds, who've come to find meaning and purpose for life by living God's way according to the Bible. And we invite God, you to know God with us. God knows us already, but us to know him. At the beginning of our service, we always have a brief little taste of what is coming later. And I'm inviting Cameron up now just to give a little glimpse of what he's going to be sharing.
Well, good morning. It's good to see you. Trevor has kind of kindly let me know that you're looking at the Lord's Prayer. Is that right? I hope it is, because that's what you're getting this morning. No. So we're looking at the idea of your kingdom come, a really important phrase in the Lord's Prayer. And so we're going to be talking through that, looking through the Bible, through lots of the Bible, and particularly at the Gospel of Matthew and a parable which talks about the kingdom. So I think you'll be surprised, that little phrase, your kingdom come, is actually packed with a lot of meaning. And so when we pray it, it's good to understand what we're praying. And so I hope you enjoy it this morning. Thanks.
This month, our mission focus is BCA with the Pharisees at Kununurra, and also Anglicare. We know David. He's been here before and preached with us. And our sentence of scripture for today: the Lord has established his throne in heaven. His kingdom rules over all. Before we stand to sing, let's just take a quiet moment to reflect on who we are here to worship and still our hearts before God. Please stand as we lift up our voices and encourage each other to rejoice. The Lord is King.
Lift up your
before sitting down, please just greet those people close by to you. Please have a seat and I'll pray for the kids before they leave. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you call the children to come to you. We thank you for their leaders and pray that this time for them would be a precious time, that they would keep learning your truths, encouraging each other and trusting you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In our country, we are blessed with so many good things. And this prayer is giving a quick summary of many things that we can be thankful for. Please join with me as we say together, Gracious God, we humbly thank you for all your gifts so freely given to us, for life and health and safety, for power to work, and leisure to rest, and for all that is beautiful in creation and human life. But above all, we praise you for our Saviour Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for the gift of your Spirit, and for the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that all Scripture is God-breathed. It is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. We ask now that you would open our hearts to receive your word, that we may know you better and be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This morning's Bible reading is from Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 1 to 14. It's found on page 989 in the Bibles, or it's also up on the screen.
Matthew 22. Verses 1 to 14. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend? The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, "Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Coral. It'd be great to have a Bible open in front of you, if you can. It's good to see you again. Thanks for the opportunity to be here. Sorry I didn't bring my wife and my children. You just get me today, so hopefully I won't disappoint. My wife Lara and I, we... on a Friday afternoon, we run a kids' club over in Chester Hill for about 20 to 30 young children from the Middle East, Southeast Asia and East Asia. It's a great ministry, and it's a great opportunity to share Jesus with new migrant children. Just the other week, we were running kids' club, and at the end of our kids' club, we do skits and drama. It's all a lot of fun. And at the end, we have a discussion group where we sit down with the groups of kids and we talk about what we learnt today and we ask them some questions and we pray with them. Anyway, this one particular week, I was sitting down with our group, and one of the girls, young girls in the group, decided that she wanted to pray as well. I said, okay, sure. And she prayed the Lord's Prayer beautifully, perfectly. And I asked her at the end of praying that, I said, do you understand what you're praying? And she said, no. Now, I suspect a lot of adults who pray the Lord's Prayer don't actually know what they're praying either. But unlike this young girl, they're probably not willing to admit it. But it's important that we know and understand what the Lord's Prayer is about, because in Matthew's Gospel, when Jesus teaches his disciples this very prayer, he says, don't pray like the Gentiles, who pray empty phrases, thinking they'll be heard by their many words. So if we truly are disciples of Christ, then we want to understand what we're asking for, and not just say these words without thinking, so that we might actually be heard when we pray. So let's pray that God would indeed speak to us and that our hearts would be open to hear what he has to say. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to meet together and to hear your word. And we pray, Father, as we look at the Lord's Prayer this morning, that you would indeed speak to us, that our hearts and minds would be open to receiving what you have to say to us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as Trevor has let me know, you've been looking at the Lord's Prayer over the last week or so. And this morning we're looking at the next three words of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6 and Luke 11, where Jesus invites his disciples to pray, "Your kingdom come. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come." So, what is this kingdom we're asking to come? Well, in any kingdom, there is usually a king who rules over a people living in a particular place. That's what a kingdom is. And Jesus begins the Lord's Prayer by addressing the Father in heaven, his Father in heaven, which tells us that the king of this kingdom we are praying to come is God the Father. God as king is a big theme in the Bible, particularly in the Psalms. And our sentence this morning from Psalm 103 talks about Jesus as king. Another example would be Psalm 24, verse 1. David declares that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. God is the king of glory, David says, who rules over all the people of the world. But if God rules all the people of the world, then why does Jesus tell us to pray asking God's kingdom to come? Isn't his kingdom already here? Doesn't he rule over all? Well, to answer that question, we need to go back to the beginning, back to Genesis chapter 1. When God created the world and everything in it, when he created men and women, you and I, in his image, to rule over his world and everything in it. And to rule in relationship with our Creator God, to live in his presence in the Garden of Eden. That's Genesis 2. But as we know from the story of the Bible, Adam and Eve rebelled against God. They said, no, we don't want to live under your rule. We want to reject your rule and live under our own rule. Now, you cannot have rebels living in a kingdom. It's not good for peace. It's not good for business, is it? And so God rightly expels Adam and Eve from his kingdom presence. He exiles them from the garden. This garden of blessing, to live a life outside the kingdom, to suffer the curse of toil and trouble and death away from God's glorious presence. And that's the reality that we all face today, isn't it? Toil, trouble, death, because we've all rejected God's rule over our lives. We've all sought to live without him as king. And this is one reason why Jesus teaches us to pray, your kingdom come, because we've all rejected the kingdom. We've all rejected the king of the kingdom. We've all chosen to live without his kingdom in our lives. Asking your kingdom to come also says that if it was left up to us, we wouldn't choose the kingdom of our own accord. We need it to come to us. And thankfully, that's the story of the Bible. God takes the initiative. He takes the initiative to reestablish the kingdom on earth. We see that all the way back in Genesis chapter 12, where God promises to Abraham to bless all the peoples of the earth through Abraham, to gather a people for himself, people who will live under his rule once again, in a place of blessing and abundance. And God keeps his promise. He brings the nation of Israel into the promised land. Again, we have a people living in a place where God rules as king. But again, the people reject God as king. And they worship other gods. And once again, same old story, God cannot allow rebels living in his kingdom, and so he exiles them from his presence to live in Assyria and Babylon. Now, you could be forgiven at this point for thinking, after seeing two failed kingdoms, that God needs a new strategy. Well, the problem's not with the strategy, it's with the people, really. And this is all part of his plan. His plan to point towards the establishment of an everlasting kingdom. An everlasting kingdom with a king, a Messiah, who would rule the people faithfully and justly under God forever. And the law, the Psalms, and the prophets all testify to this. So, for example, in the law, in Genesis 49, when Jacob blesses his 12 sons, he says to Judah this: the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff, but from between his feet, until to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his. Genesis 49, verse 10. In other words, a descendant of Judah is coming who will rule the nations. And we see this same thing promised in the Psalms. The Psalms speak of God installing his son as king, who will inherit the nations, Psalm 2, who will rule with justice forever. Psalm 45, who will judge God's enemies. Psalm 110. The prophets too speak of a descendant of King David. 2 Samuel 7, who will rule on David's throne forever. One who will be born in Bethlehem. One who will be born of a virgin. One who will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the establishment of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever, Isaiah chapter 9. Prophet Daniel, during the exile in Babylon, sees a vision of a son of man coming to God who was, and I quote Daniel 7, giving authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and people of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. That's Daniel chapter 7, verse 14. And when God's everlasting kingdom comes, we are told by the prophet Isaiah that the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the lame will walk, the dumb will speak, the thirsty and hungry will be satisfied, the captives will be freed, the mourning comforted. There will no longer be any toil or trouble, and God will wipe away all tears, and death will be no more. What a vision of the future. And the Gospels clearly show us that Jesus is this King of God's kingdom. Because he is the one born of a virgin in the town of Bethlehem. He is the descendant of David from the royal tribe of Judah. He is the one who gives sight to the blind, who gives hearing to the deaf, who feeds the hungry, the thirsty, who sets people free from sickness, from demons, from evil spirits, who raises the dead, who rules over the wind and the waves, and all the while he is faithful and obedient to his Father in heaven. You see, Jesus fulfills the role that we were meant to do. As humans, as made in his image to rule his creation, Jesus does the job. And he lays down his life on the cross so that we might be forgiven for our failure to do what God created us to do. And he rose to life so we could join him in his everlasting kingdom. What great news that is. Praying your kingdom come is asking God the Father to establish the rule of his Son Jesus Christ in the world, to see his rightful king, this rightful king of God's everlasting kingdom on the throne. That's what we're asking for Jesus to be king. But when does this kingdom come? Jesus taught a lot about the kingdom in the Gospels. He begins his ministry by calling people to repent and believe because the kingdom of God is at hand. It's close by. It's near. But then Jesus drives out demons by the Spirit of God and he says that the kingdom has come. The kingdom is here now. This means that when, by the work of the Spirit of God, people come to faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior, they are transferred from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of the Son he loves. They are forgiven and set free, Colossians 1. In other words, the kingdom has come to those who put their trust in Jesus as the King. If that's you, then the kingdom has come to you. You are in the kingdom, and as we meet here at church each week to make Jesus known, to worship him as King, we are an expression of his kingdom come. The beginnings of the kingdom come. But Jesus also teaches in the parables about the coming kingdom on the last day, the day of judgment. So the kingdom is both now and not yet. It's here, but coming soon. Jesus is king now in heaven. People are putting their trust in him now as king. But not yet, because not everyone has bowed the knee to Jesus, and Jesus has not returned to judge. And the parable of the wedding banquet in Matthew 22 that we had read this morning is an example of that not yet coming kingdom. How do we know this parable is about the end time kingdom coming? Well, we see Jesus refers to the kingdom here in Matthew 22 verse 2 as the kingdom of heaven, which in the vision of the book of Revelation is a final wedding banquet, isn't it? Revelation chapter 19, with a bride beautifully dressed for her husband, Revelation 21. So it's It's a vision, it's a parable about the wedding banquet at the end, on the final day. It's a wonderful vision to look forward to, isn't it? Of a bountiful wedding banquet. I was sitting at the table just the other day. My two eldest daughters, who are almost 25 and 23, were sitting there having an argument about who has been to the most weddings. It's so exciting, isn't it? They're such beautiful things. They're trying to outdo each other. Well, I've been to 8 weddings this year. Well, I've been to 9. It's a wonderful thing to look forward to. But this vision of the end time coming of the kingdom has a dark side also. Do you see in Matthew 22, verse 13, mention of weeping and gnashing of teeth? In the midst of this wedding banquet is weeping and gnashing of teeth. It just doesn't belong. This phrase, weeping of gnashing of teeth, is only heard from the lips of Jesus. It refers to the judgment of the end times, the judgment by fire, Matthew 13. The expulsion of people into darkness. It's a scary vision, one that no one would want to experience. And yet, friends, that is what we're asking for when we pray, "Your kingdom come." We're asking for God's glorious kingdom to come in its fullness, where we'll see no more mourning or crying or pain, where we'll enjoy a wonderful wedding banquet, but at the same time, we're asking God to come and judge, to bring justice once and for all. So let me ask you, are you ready for it? We might pray, "Your kingdom come," but are we ready for it to come? Are your family members ready for it? Is your neighbor across the back fence ready for it? Is your work colleague across the office petition ready for it? In this parable of the wedding banquet, many are invited. Many people receive the invitation to this heavenly wedding banquet. They hear the good news of the King come to save us. For almost 2,000 years, Christians have been going out through the world to share the good news of Jesus, to invite people to come into the kingdom, to be part of this great wedding banquet. Like the servants here in the parable whom the King sends out, Christians have gone out and shared, invited people in and suffered for it. Notice verse 3, those who are invited refuse to come. They pay no attention, verse 5. They're too busy working, making money to come to the banquet. The reality is there are many who will be invited. Many will miss out because they do not accept the invitation. Even though people refuse to come, the invitation will continue to go out in this parable. It continues to go out until the wedding hall is filled with guests, verse 10. God will fill his kingdom. Whether we pray, "Your kingdom come," or not, the kingdom will still come. We may not see it, like leaven in a bread, as Jesus talks about, or by a mustard seed. It might start out small. We may not see it, but it will come. It will happen. It will be established. Now, at this point, we might be sitting there listening to this parable, like the people who first heard it from the lips of Jesus, and thinking, "You know, I've been good enough to enter the wedding banquet hall." And then the parable ends, like many parables that Jesus tells, with a twist. It ends with this man who gets in without wedding clothes. What's going on with that? And we don't know how he gets in without wedding clothes. It seems that he doesn't know either. But because he's not wearing the right gear, he gets thrown out into darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then the parable ends with this statement, verse 14. "For many are invited, but few are chosen." Now this twist in the tale suggests that there will be people who will hear the invitation and think they'll be at the banquet in heaven, but they weren't properly prepared for it, and they'll miss out because they weren't chosen. You see, it's not about whether you're good or bad. It's not about whether you're good enough to get in or too bad to be excluded. You have to be chosen to be in his kingdom. So how do you know if you're chosen? Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Do you hear the certainty in that? If you believe, declare with your mouth that Jesus is the King and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. See, praying your kingdom come is also asking the crucified and risen Jesus to be Lord over your life now, to be King of your everyday. Not just about a future kingdom, it's about the kingdom now in your life, the King ruling over your life. Praying your kingdom come is asking the King to prepare you for the wedding banquet so that you might be appropriately dressed. There's nothing more embarrassing than turning up to a function inappropriately dressed, is there? Everyone is in Marvel costumes and you're the only one who's wearing plain clothes. Embarrassing. Or the opposite. You're the only one who turns up in Marvel costume and everyone else, what's this, not a costume party? What are you doing dressed like that? Embarrassing. How much worse would it be not being dressed properly for the kingdom of heaven? How much worse, infinitely worse. What does it look like to be dressed properly for the kingdom? It's wearing robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 7. Those are the people who are going to be welcomed in, those who have washed their clothes in the blood of Jesus. In other words, we must come in faith to the cross of the King of the kingdom, confessing our sins so that we may be washed clean and ready for the wedding banquet. That's the only way we get in, because of the blood of Jesus. And having confessed our sins to the King and entered the kingdom, we must turn away from all those old ways of living. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, anger, rage, malice, filthy language, lying, as Paul says in Colossians 3. Put them off. Take them off like an old moth-ridden jacket. Put it in a bag and throw it in the bin. Don't put it back on again. Instead, Paul says, as holy and dearly loved people of the kingdom, put on what pleases the King: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness. So are you dressed and ready for the coming kingdom? Have you put off the old ways? Have you put that old jacket, moth-written jacket, in the bin and put on the clothes of compassion and forgiveness that we have in Christ? Have you put off the old ways of the world and put on Jesus? And as we live holy and godly lives now, waiting for the kingdom, we actually speed the day. That's what Peter says. By living holy and godly lives, we actually speed up the coming of the kingdom. Because if we live as lights in this world, if we live as faithful ambassadors of Christ in his coming kingdom, always being prepared to give a reason for the hope we have, we will make the kingdom attractive to those who are not in it. People will want to come. Friends, God will fill the banquet hall. And he chooses to use us, those who put their trust in Jesus, to bring people in. Friends, God is filling the banquet hall. The kingdom of God is coming. The kingdom of Jesus is coming. People all over the world are coming to faith in Jesus. People are coming to faith from all over the world here. Migrants, refugees, meeting Christians, seeing the kingdom expressed in people who live for Jesus, and they're coming to faith. They're coming to the kingdom. I read this quote from Kevin DeYoung about the coming kingdom. He says this: the kingdom does not advance when trees are planted, or unemployment lowered, or beautiful art is created, or elections go one way or the other. Those may be all important things. They may reflect certain values of the kingdom, but the kingdom comes when and where the king is known. When Jesus is loved and worshipped and believed upon, there is the kingdom of God in the midst of you. Friends, let's not be busy with these important things in life, or too distracted by the things of this world. Let's be dressed and ready for the kingdom now, making Jesus known to those who are outside the kingdom, loving, worshipping, believing in him now, because we don't know when he's going to come back. Let's join with the Spirit and the Bride, Revelation 22, wonderful vision of the end. Let's join with the Spirit and the Bride. Let's join with the God who gives life, and with his people who are waiting for his coming kingdom, and say, come, Lord Jesus, come. And Jesus says, yes, I am coming soon. Grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are the King, that your Son, the Lord Jesus, is the King of your kingdom, that he came and laid down his life so that we might be welcomed in. Father, we ask that as we pray your kingdom come, that we would seek to be living with Jesus as our King. In everything we do, in everything we say and think, every decision we make, every action we make, everything we do, every conversation we have, we ask that we would be speaking and living and doing and thinking as your people, as servants of your gracious, merciful King Jesus. Father, we ask this for our sake, but for the sake of those who look on, who see us, who see that we're different, and want to know why, and want to come and join us in the great wedding banquet at the end of time. Father, we ask that you would help us to remove all those ways that are displeasing to you, that your wrath is coming for. We pray that we would put those things off and put on compassion, grace, love, humility, forgiveness, gentleness. Pray this again, Father, for our sake, but for the sake of those who see us, and that many will come into your kingdom. And again we ask, Father, come, Lord Jesus, come. Grace of the Lord Jesus be with us all. Amen.
God's cause is glorious, and I invite you now to stand as we sing together and remind each other we long that Jesus Christ would be known. Just before that, though, we will say this psalm together. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. Please stand as we sing together. God the Father. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in God the Son? We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please sit or kneel for prayer. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. In Isaiah, the Lord says, "Come now, let us settle the matter. Though your sins are scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." Although we are the people of God, Scripture reminds us that we still sin. We need to confess our failures, knowing that the Lord Jesus died for us and intercedes for us with the Father. So let us draw near to God, who freely forgives through his infinite goodness and mercy, and pray to him with sincerity and confidence. Together. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. Our God is slow to anger and full of compassion. He forgives all who humbly repent and turn to his Son, Jesus Christ, in whom there is no condemnation. Amen. Rosemary is now going to lead us with further prayers.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, you have taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray that everything we do will be guided by God's law of love. God our Father, you have promised to remain forever with those who will do what is just and right. Help us to live in your presence. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our Father, who is in heaven, we acknowledge you as the creator and ruler of this earth. All we have is yours. Help us to live according to your rules, and we pray that you will establish your kingdom here on earth so others may know you too. May your kingdom spread throughout our land, and by your gospel, may many more people so in need of your loving rule also acknowledge you as King. Help us to be faithful in helping advance your kingdom here. Show us the path you have set before us so we may follow in your ways. Lord, may your kingdom come. Amen. A prayer for Anglicare Chaplaincy. Lord Jesus, we praise you, the servant King, who willingly gave up your life that we might live. We pray for all at this time who offer up their lives in the service of others. Particularly, we remember those working as Anglicare chaplains and pastoral carers. We particularly remember today hospital chaplains. Protect them daily in their tasks and fill them afresh with your Holy Spirit as they minister to the spiritual and emotional needs of those they meet and as they seek to assist people and their loved ones to negotiate the hard times of illness, grief, loss, and the hardships that occur in life. Today we think of David Antunes as he enjoys a much-needed holiday with his wife Michelle, and for Trevor as he fills in for David at Concord Hospital. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, who alone brings order to the human heart, peace to a troubled world, and the hope of eternal life for all who put their trust in him. Father, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, the Father of nations, the ruler of heaven and earth, we pray today for the nations of this earth and for our country Australia and our government leaders. We pray for all leaders to know you first, to lead through your wise counsel and guidance, that they will lay aside selfish desire and petty grievances, instead focusing always on the best interests of the people. In a world filled with conflicts and unrest, we lift our voices in prayer for peace. We pray for peace to prevail in every corner of the globe. May your divine presence bring an end to violence, conflicts, and injustice. Lord, ignite a spirit of reconciliation, understanding, and harmony among the nations, cultures, and religions. Help the wounds of division and replace hatred with love. We pray for the Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, Leader of the Opposition, Peter Dutton, for our state leader, Dominic Perrottet, and our local council leaders, Angela Zarikas and Stephanie DePasqua. Heavenly Father, grant us the courage to be instruments of peace in our communities, extending grace and forgiveness to all we meet. Father, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, you said, I will build my church. We ask you, Lord, to fulfill your promise so we uphold before you the work of the Anglican Church in Australia and this Diocese of Sydney. We pray for Kanishka, our Archbishop, and Michael, our Regional Bishop. Continue to grow our parish of Abbotsford and your congregation here in love and unity. We pray for Trevor as he works to pastor those in his care, spread the gospel to those who will hear. And we pray for the unity of this congregation as we respond to your amazing grace and strive to live each day in obedience to you. We pray for the work of the Bush Church Aid and for the Pharisees in Kununurra, Western Australia. In such a transient community, we pray you will strengthen them. Help them not to be discouraged as people leave, but rejoice that they have had opportunity to hear your word and grow in their knowledge of Jesus while in their care. Continue to provide for Daniel and his family all their needs as they serve you each day. Strengthen your people for their witness and work in the world. Fill your ministers with your spirit that they may faithfully preach the gospel and administer your holy sacraments. Unite in the truth all who confess your name, that we may live together in love and proclaim your glory in all the world. Father, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. A prayer for all people. God of everlasting love, who provides all things, we pray for all people. Make your way known to them, your saving power among all nations. We pray for the welfare of your church here on earth. Guide and govern it by your Spirit, so that all who call themselves Christians may be led in the way of truth and hold the faith in unity of spirit, in the bond of peace, and in righteousness of life. We commend to your fatherly goodness all who are afflicted or distressed in body, mind, or circumstances. And we'll spend a few moments remembering those people we know and bring them before you now. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will relieve them according to their needs, giving them patience in their sufferings and deliverance from their afflictions. And Father, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, all good things come from you. Throughout this week, help us to hear your word that we may know and speak the truth, and to obey your word that we may honour you in all we do. Deliver us from all that is false and renew us by your Spirit, that we may know life in all its fullness. And we ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen.
You may recall 2 weeks ago we had Mike here from Mission Aviation Fellowship, and please do read this brochure. The next 2 weeks there will be some gift cards available to support MAF. Mike did also mention one of the Mission Aviation Fellowship missionaries, Nat Saint, and this is his biography, which I'm going to leave up near the offertory box. Feel free to borrow it. It's very inspiring and encouraging, the way in all every little step of his life, how he depends on God more and more. And so I really encourage you to have a read of that and continue to be inspired, even though he's no longer with us here on earth. After the service, Brian and Barbara will be down the front and would love to pray for you about anything. Please just keep distance. Be COVID sensitive for those who still find this a challenge. And I would like to lead us in a prayer of thanks for the offertories that are given back to God. Heavenly Father, everything we have comes from you, and we just give back a small portion of that. What we give, we long that will be used for growing your kingdom and having more people hear about Jesus. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand as we sing our final song, Live for the Kingdom.
Time.
The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. As you go out to serve, please say with me, Father, take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen.